The writer Daniel Alarcón's star is high and steadily rising. He got his MFA from the University of Iowa Writers' Workshop, published his debut short story in The New Yorker, and then got named to that magazine's pantheon of 20 under 40. And critics adore him. In his first book, a collection of short stories called War by Candlelight, and his first novel, Lost City Radio, Alarcón wrote about the fault lines of war and politics and culture in an unnamed South American country, which closely resembles Peru, where he was born and lived until he was 3 years old. His new novel is called At Night We Walk in Circles. Daniel Alarcón, welcome to Studio 360.
It's good to be here, Kurt.
So, like in a lot of short stories you've written, and in your previous novel, Lost City Radio, you've set At Night We Walk in Circles in this unnamed Latin American country after a guerrilla civil war. Before we talk about the book, do you feel as though, okay, I'm done with this subject now?
Maybe. I do feel like I spent a lot of my imaginative life in this unnamed city, in this unnamed country.
Which isn't Lima or Peru.
It's not Peru.
Right.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
I think that's something that I think is important to clarify, because it's not me being coy so much as it's me giving myself a certain amount of free rein.
Your biography is interesting, and I know that there are parts of it they are brought up in ways that bug you. But your Peruvian doctor parents moved to the United States in 1980. You were very little. Your childhood in Alabama coincided almost exactly with the Peruvian insurgencies. Growing up, did you hear about them, know about them? Were your parents talking about what was going on in Peru?
Yeah, for sure. We were not political refugees. We left because my parents found work at the University of Alabama, Birmingham. We were very fortunate to leave when we left and miss out on this pretty terrible decade. But it was certainly something we discussed, and it was something we you could see the worry in my parents' faces when they talked about it. You could see how they devoured news from Peru whenever it came. The connection was cultural and spiritual and deep. And then when the war touched us pretty directly, touched my family pretty directly with the loss of certain family members, of course, at that point, there was no way of ignoring it.
The main character in this novel, Nelson, is this young actor, an aspiring playwright, and a bit of a sort of kind of callow and a bit of a snob and a poser.
Mm-hmm.
Were you installing your own unflattering version of yourself in Nelson, or is he an entirely different person than you?
Well, I would venture to say that most 22, 23-year-old
are jerks.
are callow, are snobs. I mean, especially the ones with ambitions to be artists, you know. Posing is all in the eye of the beholder. I mean,
and how we figure out who we are.
You pose until it becomes authentic, really.
Yeah.
I'm not a big believer in authenticity as it is. You know, I think that most people are acting all the time, and I feel that's just the way of the world.
And so you feel you share some DNA with a guy, or you did when you were his age.
Yeah, I'm totally real now.
Good. And you're inherently inauthentic. What?
Great. I share DNA with all my characters.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty obvious.
Your narrator of this novel is also a writer who pieces together Nelson's story through research and interviews, fictional research and interviews, in a way that sometimes reads like journalism. Why did you decide to tell the story that way, in this with this kind of detached narrator, but not an omniscient third person?
Yeah, I didn't. It wasn't a decision. I wrote a first draft of this book, finished in 2010, threw it all out, started over. I kept 8 or 9 pages from that book. And as I was building on those 8 or 9 pages, this I voice just slipped in. And at first, I didn't really know who this voice was, why he was there, what his relationship to the story was. And then I realized that if I didn't answer that question soon, the question was going to become very important, and I better have a really good answer.
Yeah.
And I just kept postponing it. And by postponing answering the question, you're just raising the stakes.
Yes, yes.
I would wake up in the middle of the night wondering who the hell was telling my story until I figured it out about 14, 16 months later.
So you have this writer character writing about a writer character who's investigating a writer
you're
character.
You're making it sound boring, Kurt.
No, I know. But it's not. I want to make clear that it's not boring at all. But did that kind of meta world within world thing, was that a thing at the beginning, or did that just come about accidentally?
That just comes about accidentally. I think you just start playing with the characters and putting them in motion. And I think of it almost like billiards. You know, you just break up the balls and see where they start hitting.
That's a good metaphor. for the nature of writing a big thing.
I still got it, man.
You grow up this American kid in the American heartland. I mean, I can see being interested in where I came from, but you really committed to it.
I mean, I think of myself as 100% American and right. 100% Peruvian, and I don't think that there's any contradiction there. I guess what you're asking is, why would I decide to be Peruvian as well?
Well, why were you not even decide? I expect it wasn't a decision so much as I am really deeply fascinated with, engaged with this country that I barely remember if I remember, and I'm going to write stories and books and make half of my career about it.
Yeah. That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, I tend to be interested in things that are dangerous or sordid.
Yeah.
As opposed to like writing about like, you know, the local YMCA or like, you know, membership at the pool in Hoover, Alabama or...
And there's so many beautiful pieces of great epic novels written about those things.
I'm just going to leave that with no comment.
Did you speak Spanish at home growing up?
Of course.
Yeah. So it was a totally bilingual household?
Yeah. You know, I mean, the thing is you develop a kind of domestic Spanish. I'm hungry for dinner, mom, you know, that kind of stuff. And it was a great frustration to me at a certain age to just, you know, go as an adult to Peru and be unable to have sophisticated conversations about politics or literature or music or film in Spanish. And so I spent many years just listening. And I think that ended up being very useful for me.
And what do your parents think of their American son being so deeply connected to, fascinated by this country and culture they left 30 years ago?
Well, they didn't leave it. I mean, they left the country, but they didn't leave the culture. You don't leave your culture. You know, you take your culture with you wherever you go. So for them, I don't think it's that strange.
Really? They're not surprised?
No. I mean, why would they be? Our house was Peru.
Right. I mean, but the classic, you know, American immigrant story is, oh, my children don't care about the old country kind of thing.
Yes. That is the classic story. I think you're absolutely right. But, you know, you're not raised in terms of classic stories. You're raised in terms of, you know,
the life and your relationship with your kid.
Yeah. And the family we had, you know, and it wasn't like jammed down our throats. It just was who we were.
Right.
You know,
in your first novel, Lost City Radio, you wrote about a Latin American radio show that tried to reunite families of the disappeared. And now you're actually producing this radio program called Radio Ambulante. What is it with you and radio?
I have a radio family. You know, my father was a radio guy in Arequipa, Peru in the 1950s.
That was him?
That was him. Yeah. And also we grew up making little homemade radio programs for my cousins back in Lima.
That you would do here and send back?
Yeah, on cassette tape. Basically like, you know, the Alarcón Variety Hour where we'd gather in my parents' bedroom on Sundays. My dad would break out the tape recorder. He would interview us for the family back home.
That's about the cutest thing I've ever heard.
There you go. And then we'd get tapes like that back from Lima.
Huh. So tell me about this program of yours, this actual grown-up program. Radio Ambulante means – what is the best colloquial translation of that?
I guess you could call it radio on the move. You know, an ambulante is a street vendor. Our logo kind of says it all. It's a guy pushing a radio speaker. And to us, the ambulante is a symbol of – the go-getter, symbol of Latin American cities, and all U.S. cities that have a large Latin American population have the ambulante, the person who goes out and knows what's happening in the neighborhood, knows where they're coming from, knows where they're going, and is not waiting around for someone to create work for them, but is just a go-getter.
I've thought for a while since I've been in public radio with 35 or 40 million Spanish-speaking Americans.
55.
That seems just... You know, get 1% of that or 5% of that. That's enough for more than your show. That's enough for a bunch of shows, it seems like.
You know, it seems to me that cultural borders are extraordinarily fluid and that if you have 55 million Spanish speakers, then you can honestly say the United States is a Latin American country. It's not to say that it
– There are certain people who wouldn't like you to – don't want to hear that.
I just said it. I just said it and I'll say it again. The United States is a Latin American country. I mean, it's not that it isn't an Anglo-American country, but just as it's an African country, just as it's a, you know, a European country, an Asian country.
Yep.
This is not – I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just stating a fact.
Right.
You know, there's more Spanish speakers here than in Peru where I was born.
And more English speakers in China than here. So it's a crazy world.
Yeah, it is a crazy world. It's a beautiful crazy world in that respect.
It has been great talking to you, and I'm sure we'll talk again one of these days. Daniel Alarcón, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kurt.
Daniel Alarcón's new novel, At Night We Walk in Circles, is available now.